We'll start in verse number 16 of Luke chapter 14. And once you have found that, they'll also be on the screen. And of course, we got the projector there going. It says there in verse number 16, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you so much for loving us. I come to you this morning again, as I did in the previous service, Lord, knowing that I'm just nothing but flesh and just a human being. Lord, that simply trying to communicate and preach your word. Lord, people didn't come to hear me this morning. They came to hear from you. Lord, I pray that I'm just a vessel that you use. May you flow through me. I'm asking that each and every person, whether it be here in person or online, would look past the messenger and look to you and your word. And may we glean something that will help us. Lord, yes, will challenge us. And I believe will strengthen us. Lord, to be able to do what you've called us to do. We sure do love you, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, in fact in 1949, John Currier was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee in 1968. Soon after he got there, his sentence was terminated as they were able to find some evidence that they didn't see before and realized he really wasn't at fault. And so he was actually terminated from having to serve anymore. However, the letter did not get to him. And for 10 long years, he worked long and hard every day with really no purpose or no future other than I'm just fulfilling what my lot in life is. And he would work from sunup to sundown. Even after the farmer passed away, he still kept that farm going. After 10 years, a state parole officer learned about Currier's plight and found him and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. The author of this biography that wrote about John Currier said this, and I quote, "Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message, the most important in your life, and year after year the urgent message was never delivered? We who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others still enslaved by sin. And are we doing all we can to make sure that people get the message?" Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Paul beseeched those people of Corinth. He says, hey, you need to be reconciled to God. Last week, Pastor Lutzer started our series on Declare the Gospel on invitation. Today is another I word on invoking. Next week, the series will continue on another I word on this four-part series. The word invoke means to invite earnestly or solemnly to implore. Really, it's a step forward from invitation. It wasn't last week's message so such a blessing as Pastor shared with us how he started inviting people to Christ. He didn't necessarily know how to lead him to Christ, but he knew his pastor did, so he brought him to church and told them. His friends and those at school he met. Well, here's a step further. It's more than just an invitation. It's really you doing your part to implore and to lead and to talk to people about their faith. We look at verse number 23, especially in our text today. We really want to break this verse down. And I hope and pray it will challenge us all in this area of invoking. Number one, if you're writing, the details within the command. The details within the command. The Bible says there, and the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highway and hedges and compel. Now, if you notice in verse number 17, the Bible says, come. Really, the servant went out and said, come. And now the master, several verses later, is saying, hey, go, not just in the city, not just in the neighborhood, but in the highways and hedges. You're going to have to go a little bit. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. And you're going to have to go and not just invite, or not just say, come. You have to compel them to come in. I want us to notice the place described. We see in verse number 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. Now, why was he angry? Well, the Bible says in verse number 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Now, if you've ever bought property, we bought our house a couple months ago. That was a very exciting thing for my wife and I. In fact, hopefully it's exciting for many years to come. All right. If you've tried to buy property or a house in Oregon in the last few months, it's definitely an exciting roller coaster to get it. So I can understand him wanting to go see his property, but there's this feast that's been made. A lot of work's been gone into it. There's people coming, supposedly, from all over. And they go and perhaps they got the fatted calf and they've gotten all the things, the garnishes, and it's a beautiful feast. It's a gorgeous feast and nobody's coming. The techs start coming in, if you will, and maybe you've gotten the big Costco cake. You've gotten the big Costco platter. You've gotten everything Costco has to sell. And you have this party and you're all excited about it. You even got the big Costco watermelon in the summer. Man, you have it all. You got the Costco cake that feeds about 530 people, you know. And the texts start coming in. We can't make it. Can you imagine the frustration that maybe you would feel? Someone says, hey, I can't come. You'd understand. I'd be there in a heartbeat if I could. But what are you doing? Well, you know, it's like, are you really going to be there? No, I'm not going to make it. Maybe you're husband, or maybe your wife, or maybe your child. It's their big birthday party. Maybe they're 5 or 10 years old, and you got the bounce house, and you got everything there, and everybody keeps canceling on you. Have you been there? I know we have before. It's frustrating. Come on. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to eat this for the next 5 months, you know. You got to come. Be a part of it. Well, the man went, and everywhere he went, everyone kept turning him down. See, the next thing there, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now, I doubt anybody here has bought 5 yoke of oxen recently. But you probably have bought a tool or maybe a four-wheeler or maybe a new car and you wanted to go try it out. For whatever reason, time after time, again, they have denied coming to the party. Verse number 20, and another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. I shared in the 8:30 service, I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, all right? But we've all been there. For whatever reason, the area they had first gone was not panning out. And the master says, you're going to go in the highway and hedges. Now, you're going to get out of your comfort zone, servant. You know where all these people live in the city. By the way, he did and came back and there was still more room. He says, you're going to have to go farther out. You're going to have to go in the more dangerous area. There's probably bandits and thieves. There's probably people who really don't want to come, but you got to talk them into coming because I want my house to be filled. And really we see the people desired in verse number 23. I want us to notice the desperate. The desperate. These are people who are separated from God and sin, seeking a means of hope. Have you ever met anybody desperate for Christ? I remember years ago I was canvassing and soloing in Turlock, where we had planted a church, and I knocked on a door in an apartment complex that wasn't known as being a great place to live. And a lady answered the door. Her name was Norma, and she says, "Oh, please come in." I gave her the gospel, and she readily accepted Christ. And her husband was over there making tacos. He says, "You want some tacos?" I said, "Of course I want some tacos. I mean, seeing someone saved and getting tacos at the same time, that is amazing." And he says, "You know, I was listening to what you were saying." And he says, I think I want to do that too. He says, "But I don't know if I can." I said, "Well, why not?" He says, I've been in gangs since I was 15. He goes, "I've done some awful things." I said, "Well," I said, "I have no idea what you've done." He goes, "No, you don't understand. I've done some awful things. I've gotten into drugs." He was hooked on meth at one point. He had been in prison for killing a person. I said, "Well, keep that. Don't do that anymore, okay?" I said, "But let me tell you about what the Apostle Paul and what he got saved from." Never forget leading him to Christ, and you could just tell he was just overwhelmed emotionally with tears. A desperate man who wanted to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I see not only a desperate man, but I see a defiant, maybe. Maybe there are some bandits and robbers. They purposely lived a life of rebellion. Surely the servant encountered them along the way. Can you imagine? "Hey, sir, come to my feast. Do you know who I am?" "Yeah, don't do anything to hurt me, but come to my feast. The master said, come." Perhaps maybe you've met those who are a little bit rebellious. They don't need God, but you love them. You care for them. And you need to tell them about their need for the Lord. Perhaps they see no need of Christ and are uninterested in the gospel. However, the Bible says in verse 23, "And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." Who's the word "them"? That's everybody. I remember knocking on the third door when we got to Turlock. First time I went out, knocked on a door, and this lady came to the door and she says, "I'm going to come to your church Sunday." And I said, "Wow." I'm thinking in my mind, church, this is going to be easy. I mean, if every three doors someone wants to come, and we'll have a full church tomorrow. Man, I was so excited, and I told my wife, I said, "We're going to have a new family visit tomorrow." I mean, she said she's going to be there. Man, I showed up to church, and she didn't come. You know, when you're starting off planning a church in your day, you have a list of 5-10 prospects, you're going to hit them. And you're going to go by, and they're going to get tired of you, probably. I went to that next week, and 6 weeks in a row, she promised to come. The sixth week, I said, "Alicia, I am not going to go back there again." She's had her chance. She came that next Sunday. I thought, wow. So what did I do? Well, next Saturday, I followed up on her. I went back again. It happened time and time again. One lady, someone asked, they said, "Hey, how'd you get here to Lighthouse?" And she said, "Well, Pastor Justin wouldn't leave me alone, so I finally had to come." I didn't realize that. I didn't think I was that persistent. But may I encourage you, sometimes there's some you got to work a little harder with, do you not? And it gets frustrating. You try, you reach out, you share the gospel with, and "I'm not interested." And then, "Well, okay, maybe," or "one of these days." But may I encourage you to keep going after the defiant. I think of the difficult. Could you imagine? The servant may have met those who were challenging. They needed a little encouragement. Maybe they were arguing, or maybe they had a lot of questions. They're difficult. You ever met someone who asks you questions? You're like, "Man, that's a great question. I don't know." I remember a young family came and they wanted to grow. And I said, well, let's get into some discipleship. I'll meet you on this particular day. And I came by their home and found out he grew up Mormon and she grew up Pentecostal. And they had gotten kind of into this online church thing. And they were just had so many questions. And every week I would tell my wife, man, that's tough. I mean, I get stretched every week. So many questions. But little by little, God started putting it all together for him. Man, they started growing, and now he's discipling his brother through that same discipleship book. There's times where the difficult get challenging. There's times when the defiant get frustrating. There's times when the desperate, it's hard to go to them. But may I encourage you, more than just an invite, it's a step forward. It's an imploring. I think of the different. Can you imagine that servant maybe getting out of town a little bit? And the dress was maybe different. The cultures were a little different. Maybe the food was even a little different. And he was out of his comfort zone, out of his element. But he had to obey his master to compel them. I think of through the years, of course, Turlock was a very diverse area ethically. Even though there's a lot of farmers and all agriculture. In fact, Stanislaus County was in the 9 largest agricultural counties in the world. But there were so many different ethnic groups that would come. I'll never forget the first time I went to one family's house and they invited me in. She says, we're making dinner. I'm going to give you some. I said, well, what is it? A big old pot, red stuff boiling. She said, it's pozole. I said, what? Pozole, what is that? She says, well, it's this hominy. What is hominy? I don't know what that is. And there's this pork. And her daughter pipes up. Mom, there's a pig foot in there. I said, a what? I said, I'm going to eat what? What? I'll never forget her saying, no, shh, don't tell him that. He won't eat it then. You got me there. It was actually pretty good. But it was different. But you know what I found? They still were excited about the love of Jesus Christ. Went to another home and they were refugees from Uzbekistan. And they offered me this tea and I'm not a tea guy. Sorry. If you like hot tea in the morning, praise the Lord. But I'm not. Of course, I don't like coffee either. I'm all messed up. But anyways, she gave me some tea and you have to drink this. This is our custom. And you drink it while we visit. First sip I took, I thought, Lord, have mercy. This is going to be a rough visit. They said, it's better when it's hot. Oh, better drink it fast then. It was different. I was sharing in the 8:30 service. I got a call one time from a man from Iraq, and he had moved, and he said, I want you to come, and I want you to pray for me. I got your flyer on my door. I said, I'll be happy to. And I drove in there and I prayed with him. And he says, here, this is customary that we give you a gift. I said, okay. I opened up. It was $100 bill. I said, I have all kinds of prayers to pray for you. No, I didn't say that. But I'm thinking that. And then I thought, wait a minute here. Let me tell you about something that's way better than $100 bill. Let me tell you about your eternity and what Jesus did for you. Have you been there? Maybe it's someone who dresses differently and culturally differently, but they still have a soul in need of a Savior. I think of the different. We cannot reserve our conversation for those who appear just like us. We too must seek out those who are different. I think of not only the details within the command. I want us to notice number 2. The desire of the command. Look at verse number 21 again. We see the passion. The Bible's compel them to come in. This is more than just a mere invitation. It's more than just casual, unconcerned conversation. By the way, I always encourage those who go out and talk to people, try to find something that they're in common with, that you can build a conversation with in relationship. But it was more than just a casual relationship. It was more, how are you doing? Isn't it a beautiful day? God is good, right? It's more than that. It's taking it to that next level and taking them on a journey and showing them the love of Christ and what he did for us on Calvary. that we who were sinners and our sin, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, that's hard to tell that to people sometimes. You're a sinner. Really? Okay. You know. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The penalty of our sin is death and hell. And may I say, no one wants to go there. But the Bible says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, even though we've done wrong and we've missed the mark, we've missed heaven on our own good, Jesus took care of that for us on Calvary. And the ground is level at the cross. Whether you're rich or poor, smart or not so smart, wise or simple, or no matter what side of the tracks you come, it doesn't matter. The gospel is for every man, every woman, every child. I'll never forget the day when I understood that and received Jesus Christ in my life. I had the burden of sin on me. It was weighing me down. I know I was just a 10-year-old boy. I've heard the illustrations of people who got saved, like the man earlier, from a life of sin and a life of drugs and a life of imprisonment and all that. And God changed his life. And I remember as a 10-year-old boy saying, what did God save me from? Well, I knew I was still a sinner. I had disobeyed. I had cheated out my brothers and sisters of things. I knew I was a scoundrel. Even though I was just 10 years old. But that burden of sin was so much that when I gave my life to Christ, that burden went all the way. And Jesus became my Lord and Savior. I think of the passion. It was more than just a mere imitation. It was different. It was so much more. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. You know what Paul's saying? I don't just go about my business just to strike up conversations and shoot the breeze with people. No, there's something way more than that. I do this for the gospel's sake. You say, well, why do we need to invoke? Why do we need to invite? Why do we need to get out there and tell people? It's not for me or you. It's not even for Grandview. Even though it's an amazing church to come to. It's for the gospel's sake. It's for their eternity's sake. It changes everything. Aren't you glad for the day when you gave your life to Christ? We see the purpose. This great supper, this meal was ready. This desire for the house to be filled with guests wasn't just so there'd be a certain number. No, there was much time and effort and expense to put in this meal not to be filled. May I say, Jesus left the glories of heaven, did he not? He came to earth, entombed in a man's body. He bled and died for our redemption. And he rose again for our justification. You see, the purpose is so much greater than just a casual conversation. The purpose is that Jesus Christ will atone for our sin. And if we'll just give our life to Christ, it'll save us from hell. And may I encourage you this morning to take the orders of the gospel to the world for the salvation of mankind. I see not only the details or the desire of the command. I want us to see, last of all, the directive and the command. And here's where we get a step further. At first it was come. First it was an invitation. But then it gets serious in verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go, go, go unto the highways and hedges. This wasn't advice. It's like your children. They say, well, I don't know if I want to eat that. Well, that wasn't advice. You're going to eat that. You know, I don't know if I want to go clean my room. I don't know if I want to. Well, I don't care. It wasn't advice. You're going to go clean your room. I don't know if I want to brush my teeth. Well, I'm sorry. But that's not advice. You're going to go brush your teeth. And the master is saying to the servant, hey, you need to go. You need to go and do this. This is a command. This is a directive. There's urgency here. There's no time to waste. You see, if this meal doesn't get eaten today, it's worthless. It's wasted. May I say, isn't salvation wonderful for all mankind? But if someone doesn't accept it, what good is it to them? If they don't know about it, how is it going to change their life? And the gospel must be presented. It must be given. It must be shared. It must be with urgency. tomorrow is going to be too late. We don't know what holds tomorrow. But we do know this, that today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And we must go. And we must share not only the urgency, but the activity. The activity expects and requires participation. The servant had to actively and purposely pursue the guest for supper. Knowing where to find them was not enough. It was knowing, but going to tell them. I think we all would agree we live in an area where we know there's a need. I mean, this is one of the most unchurched states in the U.S. There's a need here. Portland needs Christ. We would all agree. Knowing is not enough, though, is it not? We must go. We must go. May I encourage you to go? Jesus did not command us to sit and wait for them to come to us. Now, we are great, and me and Brother Cameron went through and put a list of all the ways we reach out, other than going through social media, through Google, through Yelp, through all these different ways, our website, and praise the Lord for all that. Those are tools we can use. But that's not enough. And God, by the way, God sends us people almost on a weekly basis, and we're so glad if you visited today, we're so glad you're here. May I encourage you? It doesn't take away the fact that we still must go. And we still must share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reaching our community for Christ requires some good old-fashioned work, does it not? May I encourage you to keep going and to keep sharing. The pastor gave me a list of things he preached on years ago when he preached a similar type message. And I wanted to share those with you today. I thought it was good. Here's some practicality. As we wrap this message up, how can we practically invoke the gospel? Number one, be persistent in an invitation. Be persistent in an invitation. It's easy to invite once. It's not always easy to invite twice or three times. May I encourage you, that clerk that you see maybe on a regular basis, don't give up inviting them to church. That gas station attendant that fills your car up with gas, don't give up. Keep on them. Keep on them. Keep being persistent. We see, be proactive in the invitation. Pastor says, use a promotion. Invite them over to your home for a meal. Use it as an incentive. Use a way to get them here. Go the extra mile to invite. Maybe you have to open up your car door and bring them. Or maybe it's a postcard you write them. I try to write at least 10 to 12 cards a week. Why? Because I want to invite people. I want to remind them. I want to keep giving them touches. Do them a favor. Well, how can I return that favor, they may ask? Hey, why don't you come visit my church on Sunday? Here's another one. Take them some cookies or a pie. I've never heard of anyone that was upset that someone brought them cookies or a pie. Or my wife's pumpkin bread, you know. Or cinnamon rolls, whatever the case may be. Why? Because you have something to go with. And say, hey, I just want to give this to you. By the way, would you come and be my guest? Or could I talk to you about the Lord? Write a letter, send a card, make a phone call. Send a text, send a message, send a gift card. But don't quit reaching out to people. Don't quit. There's times where they come on the first time. There's other times it takes years. By the way, I've led people to Christ and it was so simple. It was almost like it was a piece of fruit. You barely knocked it and it came off the vine. But why was it so simple? Because for years, I'm sure other people have been working on them. And I just got the easy fruit. There's times where you're planting the seed, is it not? There's times you're watering. There's times you're cultivating. There's times you're pulling the weeds, maybe. There's times you're putting more water on it. There's times maybe you're putting more sun on it. There's times maybe you're putting some prayer and fasting. There's times you're going on. And finally, one day, they give their life to Christ. May I encourage you to continue to compel, to continue to go, continue to be urgent, continue to be passionate, continue to have that purpose, continue to go to the desperate, the defiant, the difficult, and the different. Why? Because that's what we're commanded to do. We're just like that servant. And may we go. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I don't know, well, maybe God touched your heart. but I know he's been working on mine this week. I'll be honest, it's easy to get in the inviting mode or even the casual mode. I've been there. Maybe you have. But what we want to get back to this year, as we've been sharing time and time again, is getting back to going again, going again. Maybe it's the 24 touches. Maybe you're still working on that. We passed those out a couple weeks ago. Maybe that's for you. And maybe you're just starting to invite. By the way, the process we're sharing is a 4-week sermon series, but it might take you several months to get to those points. And that's okay. I'm good with that. But we got to start somewhere. May I encourage you to start with the invite. May I encourage you to take the next step to the invoking and to really, really actually initiating the conversation and not just shooting the breeze, but taking him on a journey and trying to get him to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I encourage you this morning to take that next step. Perhaps there's someone here that would say, you know, Pastor Justin, I'll be honest, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Maybe you're watching online or maybe you're here in person and you say, I don't know. I mean, you shared the gospel, how we're all sinners and God loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, pay for my sin. And when I realized that, I want that in my life. I want a relationship with Christ. And if I were to die right now, I don't know where I'd go. And I want to go to heaven. Oh, the message is for you this morning. If that's you, would you pray something like this in your heart? Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. Lord, I believe and trust in you, though, and I accept you into my heart. Please come to my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus. If that was you, maybe this morning, if that was you who just prayed that prayer, would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody like that this morning? God bless you. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, you just invited Christ in your life. How many would say, you know, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But this area of invoking, taking that next step, of actually sharing my faith, that's a big step for me. And I'll admit, it's a big step. And I'm gonna work that way this year. That's me. Will you pray for me, Pastor John? If that's you, please lift your hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. All over. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say, I'm just carrying a burden today. And will you pray for me? I'm carrying a burden that's overwhelming, and I just want to be able to give it to God. Will you pray with me this morning? If that's you, please slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Oh, God bless you. I see those hands. God sees your hand. He knows your heart. Lord, you saw the hands. You know the hearts. Several, Lord, want to take that next step of not just sharing an invitation, but, Lord, not just talking about it, but actually leading someone to Christ. Lord, those who raise their hand are carrying a burden. Lord, I don't know what they're going through. My heart goes out to them. Lord, I've carried burdens before and it's not fun. But Lord, may they give it to you. Lord, you're the great physician. Lord, you and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, you can do a miracle in their heart. And I pray you'll help them. Lord, just be with them this morning as they give that burden to you. Lord, maybe there's someone that needs to take the next step. Maybe they would like to get baptized, or maybe they'd like to join the church, or maybe they'd like more information on there. We'd love to pray with them. Love to help them. Lord, I pray you'll bless this invitation. Lord, as the piano plays in a few minutes, Lord, I pray you'll help us to get some things right with you. If we need to, maybe take that next step of obedience, whatever that area may be. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could all stand to our feet. Piano's playing, the altar's open. Maybe God has touched your heart. Maybe you'd like to come forward and make a decision. Our assistant pastors are down here. We'd love to pray with you. Love to help you in any way possible. Maybe you'd like to stay there in your pew. That's fine. Let me encourage you to take that next step of growth. God sure does want to do a work in your heart. Oh, God bless you. I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being here today. We got the video going? Okay. If you can be seated, we do have a video to share with you. And by the way, before that video is shared, I hope you know I love pozole now, okay? And my palate has expanded through the years, okay? And I enjoy several different cultural dishes, all right? Go ahead and show the video.
The date for our gym fundraiser banquet to March 6th at 6 p.m. Get to reserve your spot. Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Pastor Justin Lehman was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 as we hear from our guest speaker, David Malucci, who pastors at Grace Baptist Church in Beaversdale, New York.
The church live stream is in need of volunteers. Our sound booth, camera operation, lights, and TV displays all run for people like you. If you are interested in serving in this needy area, please sign up at the welcome desk or see Colby Pennington.
Due to a scheduling conflict, we are moving the date for our gym fundraiser banquet to March 6th at 6 p.m. Get to reserve your spot. The cost is $30 per person. Child care is not provided. You can purchase your tickets in the foyer after the service or online at grandviewcares.com/gift.
Teenagers, you won't want to miss our overtime teen activity for speed volleyball next Sunday night, January 23rd, after the evening service. The activity will end around 7 p.m.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out our Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon and we'll see you tonight at 5.
Woohoo! Let's give our sound guys a round of applause. And it's been one of those days for them, but they did a great job. So, well, I hope you have a great afternoon and come back tonight. Our friend, Pastor David Malucci, will be preaching for us. And I promise you'll be glad you're here. And make sure you come back tonight at Little Bear Bible Club as well for the kids. And you'll enjoy. The kids will enjoy that too. You are dismissed.